Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. You probably don't need me to tell you that this is Sweet Home Alabama by Lynyrd Skynyrd. As classic rock songs go, this one's pretty classic. But did you ever wonder about this line? Now muscle shows has got to swamp us. And they've been known for song too. Well, I know what Muscle Shoals is. That's the town in Alabama where everybody used to go to record. I mean, the Stones, Simon and Garfunkel, Aretha Franklin, Wilson Pickett, Traffic, you name it. But what the heck does Swampers mean? Well, I finally found out when I watched the new documentary called simply Muscle Shoals. And joining me on Soundcheck today is the director of that film, Greg Camelier. Greg, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And the founder of Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Rick Hall. Rick, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Let me ask you to explain Swampers.
Swampers was a group that recorded a lot of hit records with me, the Wilson Pickett's and the Etta James and Aretha Franklin. And
they were your house band.
They were my house band. That's exactly right. And they came up with the name Swampers. I think somebody called them the Swampers because they played swampy music and it was funky and rootsy and dirty and all that. So they started calling themselves the Swampers.
And was everybody from this Muscle Shoals region around the Tennessee River in Alabama?
Most of them were originally from there, but we had a lot of people come from after we became bigger and had a couple of three-hit records. Then we started moving people in from Florida, from Pensacola, and Dwayne Allman came from South Alabama or Georgia.
Right. But that original group, those original Swampers were all from this relatively tiny town in a small part of rural Alabama.
Yes, yes. I was talking to Greg about this, and he said, "Well, how did you find those guys?" And I said, "Well, what we did back then was take everybody had a group. I played in a group called the Fairlanes, so everybody had groups, and they played fraternities all over the South. And so what we would do is take the best drummer out of one band, the best keyboard player out of another band, and so forth. So that way we got the best of all mixes."
Greg, you must have been taken with this idea that such a relatively small place could produce such an amazing concentration, not just of music, but of, like, great musicians.
Yeah, it's a fascinating part of the story that was just instantly, was obvious. And, you know, it's iconic music. It's a massive amount of iconic music, as you say, coming out of this tiny rural place. And then it's, spans genres of music. You know, this isn't just one sound we're talking about here. We're talking soul, we're talking deep down soul. We're talking R&B. We're talking birth of Southern rock. We're talking rock and roll, country music. I mean, even some reggae, that's pretty crazy.
Right.
Pretty
Jimmy Cliff is one of them.
Jimmy Cliff was one,
There's a lot of, especially early on in the movie Muscle Shoals, there's a lot of people trying to sort of wrap their heads around why this happens. One of my favorite explanations comes from U2 singer Bono.
"It always seems to come out of the river. You know, even in Liverpool, the Mersey Sound. And then, of course, Mississippi. And here you have the Tennessee River. It's like the songs come out of the mud."
The songs come out of the mud.
That's it. That's it.
We are speaking with Rick Hall, the founder of Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and Greg Camelier, who is the director of the new film called Muscle Shoals, which opens in theaters here in New York on September 27th and will also be available through video on demand. The film's soundtrack is awesome and comes out on September 24th. How could it be anything but with all of the great musicians that have been recorded there?
Thank you.
Now, Rick, before you opened Fame Studios in its current location, you already had a hit record to your credit, right? Arthur Alexander.
Yes, sir. Arthur Alexander was a black man who was a bellman at the Sheffield Hotel, which is one of the four cities in Muscle Shoals, which is Tuscumbia, Muscle Shoals, Sheffield, and Florence. And so he had this song that he and three other guys were singing, and they were a quartet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't care for the quartet part of it, and I wanted hit records, so I passed on that. But Arthur had this song called "You Better Move On," and we kept him, and he sang the song for me and said, "Well," and he don't play an instrument, by the way, so he just snapped his fingers and sang the song. And so I liked it so much that I said, "Well, I think it's a hit."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Well, do you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, what are we going to do about it?" And I said, "We're going to cut a hit record on it." And he said, "When?" And I said, "Tomorrow."
And you did.
So, I mean, this almost sounds like, you know, a Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney film. You know, I'll get the barn. I'll get the microphones.
That's right.
Where did you, I mean, so you must have had a place already, and you must have had some mm-hmm. way of thinking, mm-hmm. if I record this guy, I can make this a hit.
Mm-hmm. I did. Well, we had a little tobacco warehouse that we had stapled egg cartons all over the walls in order to kill the sound, to make it soundproof and to deaden it so it wasn't have a lot of reverb and
mm-hmm,
so forth,
mm-hmm.
bouncing all over the place. And so we had moved into that studio about a couple of months earlier, not where I'm at now, but
right.
It was the first recording studio in the state of Alabama, and the first hit was cut on Arthur Alexander in the state of Alabama. And so I felt like I was sh**ing high cotton.
So you were a pioneer.
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't like to call myself that, but if you said it, it's okay.
This was 1961, right?
About 1961, 1962.
So, little studio with egg crates on the wall and a hotel bellhop singing a song, and this is what resulted.
You asked me to give up the hand of a girl I love. You tell me I'm not the man she's worthy of. But who are you to tell her who to love? That's up to her. Yes, and the Lord above. You better move on. Well, I know you can buy her fancy clothes and diamond rings, but I believe she's happy with me without those things. Still, you beg me to set her free, but my friend, that will never be. You better move on.
Arthur Alexander, You Better Move On, recorded in Rick Hall's studio. Was it called Fame Studios even back then?
Back then, we started a company called Fame Publishing Company, and then we decided to call the studio Fame.
Okay.
Fame Recording Studio. So for 50 years we've been there, and it's been
in Muscle Shoals.
In Muscle Shoals, owned by the same family of people, and it's the oldest studio in the world.
And Greg Camilleri, director of the new film Muscle Shoals, for this movie, we've already heard Bono. You talk to everybody. I mean, you know, Aretha Franklin and Alicia Keys. Mick and Keith from the Rolling Stones. Now, they knew this Arthur Alexander song, right?
Oh, yeah, they did. In fact, they cut that. They then cut it soon
right.
after, and it was a huge hit for them in England.
And, mm-hmm. But they, at the time, didn't really know where it came from. They didn't know the whole backstory. And Keith especially is like, you know, eventually waxes poetic as he begins to hear more Muscle Shoals music mm-hmm. about wanting to go there and
right.
play there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, when they cut it, they had no idea where that music was coming from. And then, you know, it turned into a mecca for them and other artists. And, you know, Keith is a very big fan of Muscle Shoals and, you know, wanted to cut even more stuff there.
Right. So when it came time to do some of the songs on Sticky Fingers,
yep.
they went to Muscle Shoals.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very funny moment in the film where one of the Swampers, one of the musicians, is talking about those sessions, and he says, "And I just want to point out there was no drinking or drugging." And then you cut to Mick, and Mick goes, "Well."
Yeah. I'm not sure about that. No drinking.
Now, by that point, Rick, the Swampers had left your studio.
Yes, sir.
And had started there. So there was like a split. And this is one of the things I did not know about Muscle Shoals, was that it was not one studio, but two competing studios. Was there enough work for both of you to keep churning the stuff out over the years?
Well, you know, there was at one time, there was 12 recording studios. Percy Sledge did not cut his record in my studio or in the Swamper studio. He cut his record, When a Man Loves a Woman, which was a classic.
Right.
Down in Sheffield, Alabama. So there was several studios, and of course mine was the original and first one, and then the Swampers came along, and then other studios started falling in line, and musicians started coming to town from, you know, all over the South,
mm-hmm.
and the Dwayne Allmans and Joe Souths and all the great pickers. And started moving into town because they felt the need for making a living, you know,
and
doing more session work.
Now, it wasn't just session musicians. I mean, one of the stories Greg tells in the film is the sort of the resurrection of the career of Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
Tell me about how that came about.
Well, it started with Percy Sledge, and I had sent to Atlantic Records, which was my label. I mean, I always thought it was the best label in the business, with the Coasters and the Drifters and all the good stuff. And it was the things that we copied in the South, and we all played at fraternities and so forth. We were all fond of Atlantic Records. And, of course, later on, I never thought I would be able to get with Atlantic and with mm-hmm. Jerry Wexler. But lo and behold, I spent a lot of hours at 1841 Broadway in New York City.
Which was the offices.
Which was the headquarters for Atlantic Records. So after Percy Sledge, I found that record for him. I didn't produce it, but I found it for Wexler and sent it to him. And he called me back and said, I don't hear it. I mean, I really don't hear the record, Rick. I don't think it's a hit. And I said, you got to be kidding. I mean, have you lost your hearing? And he said, well, maybe I have. But he said, you think you feel it's a hit? And I said, I think it's the number one record worldwide. I don't think it's number two or number three. I think it's number one. And I said, I'd bet my life on it. So after Percy Sledge, of course, my stock went way sky high with Wexler,
mm-hmm.
and he sent Pickett down, Wilson Pickett, and
Pickett.
We had Funky Broadway, Land of a Thousand Dances, all those hits,
mm-hmm.
and then he said to me, I've got this lady that's just leaving CBS Records, and she's had no success whatsoever, and so I want to bring her to Muscle Shoals. What do you think of that? And I said, I think that's wonderful. Now, at the time, I didn't know who in the hell Aretha was. I didn't know if she was... I knew that she was Reverend Franklin's daughter, who was in Detroit, Michigan.
And right, famous...
Famous...
Singer and famous preacher. And
preacher and the whole thing. Yeah. And so he said, I'm going to bring her down. So he brought her down, and we had... We cut two sides the first day, and both sides went number one.
One of them was the song "I Never Loved a Man the Way I Loved You" from that first session at Muscle Shoals.
Yes.
You're no good, heartbreaker. You're a liar and you're a cheat. And I don't know why I let you do these things to me. My friends keep telling me that you ain't no good. Oh, 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 but they don't know that I'd leave you if I could. I guess I'm uptight and I'm stuck like glue, 'cause I ain't never loved a man the way that I love you.
That is Aretha Franklin, and that was one of her breakout hits, recorded with Rick Hall at Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals. "I Never Loved a Man the Way I Loved You." Rick's here with me, so is Greg Cannelier, who's the director of the new documentary Muscle Shoals, which is beautiful and surprising, and at times, Greg, pretty funny. And one of the funny moments is when people are talking about the band, the Swampers, and everyone assumes they're black.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Yeah, far from it.
So this is one of the, I mean, race becomes one of the through stories in the film, mm-hmm. but listen to this from the movie Muscle Shoals.
I remember when Paul Simon called Stax Records, talked to Al Bell, and said, "Hey, man, I want those same black players that played on I'll Take You There." He says, "That can happen, but these guys are mighty pale."
A lot of people could not believe that my whole band was white guys that played behind me.
People have arrived at Muscle Shoals expecting to meet these black dudes, and they're a bunch of white guys that look like they worked in the supermarket around the corner.
So the players, the Swampers, now you heard the voice there of Swampers guitarist Jimmy Johnson, then singer Percy Sledge, and then Bono. And Rick, even though the band was white, I mean, you know, you were doing a lot of black music. I mean, it's Alabama, it's segregation, George Wallace is the governor. How much, was that ever an issue inside the confines of the studios?
Never. We had nothing to do with all of that. In fact, those were the days when George Wallace was standing in the University of Alabama in the schoolhouse door and saying, segregation now, segregation forever. And so we had a lot of looks, but we never felt threatened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, we were doing Wilson Pickett, we were doing Land of a Thousand Dances the night that Dr. Martin Luther King was shot and killed in Memphis, Tennessee, which
really?
Was 150 miles from Muscle Shoals.
Now, Wilson Pickett, you know, that session that produced the famous Land of a Thousand Dances, I mean, he's in the film sort of saying, "I walk into Muscle Shoals and here's this," and he says, "Here's this cracker." I mean, so, you know, he was taken aback that you were white and the band was white.
Yeah, he couldn't believe it. But we became dear friends, and Pickett was a tough dude. He was known to beat up people in his band and things like that. And people were afraid of him.
Hmm.
Atlantic Records told me to continue to produce records on Wilson, but to do me a favor, do me a favor, don't bring him over here. Send the records to us by mail, and we'll
talk. Keep Wilson Pickett away from me.
Keep him away.
Greg, the film's called Muscle Shoals. How long have you been working on this film? Because Wilson Pickett is in the movie, and he's not with us anymore. Etta James is in the movie, not with us anymore.
Yeah, so the interviews with some of the deceased were, you know, archival footage that we were able to get. That being said, we worked on the film 3.5-4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the catalyst for this? Was it just surfing through your record collection going, "Hey, there's Muscle Shoals again"?
No, you know, it's just a strange story. It really found us as much as anything. I was on a road trip with a buddy who was moving to New Mexico, and he was actually leaving New York City and needed help driving his car across the country. He's a childhood friend. And I begrudgingly agreed to help him drive the 1,700 miles, and we decided to take the southern route, and we wanted to take back roads, stay off the highways, kind of make it an adventure. And we drove till we'd get late at night and be tired, and we pulled out the map, and we saw Muscle Shoals behind us, and we turned around and drove 40 miles backwards because we knew some of the music that we loved being from Muscle Shoals, but we had no idea the totality and the magnitude of the story till we got there and we started researching. We just had this profound day, and in that next day before we left, I said to him, I said, God, this is an incredible story. We need to make a film about this story. I can't believe this story has not been told.
Yeah, but you are not a filmmaker.
No, I was not.
But you became one.
Yes. And
specifically to tell this story?
Yes. Well, yeah, but you know, I've been missing the creative thing in my life as well, so... you know, I've been bit by the bug. That's all I want to do now is make films. And so, yeah, it was quite a ride.
Yeah. And Rick, the heyday of Muscle Shoals, I mean, there are scenes in the film where you just see one album cover after another, iconic album covers, major names. They're mostly from the 70s, some 60s, mostly from the 70s. Mm-hmm. What happens in the 80s, the 90s today? Are people still, are the studios still?
Yeah, of course. Yes. We have moved in order to get a little more income into the music business. We started up the publishing companies, and we published a lot of songs, a lot of big hit songs, you know, I Swear, and things like this that have made us a lot of money. So we didn't have to rely so much on just producing records or renting the studio. We had another stream of income.
So at the film ends, Rick, with you back behind the board at Fame Studios, and in the studio are the Swampers. So after, you know, a couple
years.
Of decades, have you guys made nice and friends again?
Yeah, we are good friends. We love each other. We always did love each other. And, of course, they were responsible in helping me to create the Muscle Shoals sound. And they're like my kids, you know. Mm-hmm. But, we've made up long ago, and Wexler and I made up long ago, so... Thanks are good. Thanks are good.
And, Greg, that final song in the film is Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
With the Swampers there in Muscle Shoals.
Yeah. Very special moment.
That must have been.
It was very cool. And it's a Bob Dylan track that he recorded down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was on the plane ride home after the very first shoot. I was listening to that Pressing On by Dylan, and I just... I started getting, you know, really emotional about it for some reason. It was after the first shoot, and I just thought, oh, this song would be a great way to end this movie.
What a great
yeah.
record.
And so, and then, yeah, then like 3 years later when it actually came to fruition, it was quite a moment.
Well, the film Muscle Shoals opens in theaters here in New York on September 27th. It is so worth seeing. It's beautifully shot. The cinematography is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Makes Muscle Shoals look like God's green earth.
Oh, yes, yeah. please.
Tony Arndt.
It's also available through video on demand, and the soundtrack comes out on September 24th. Director Greg Camilleri and Rick Hall, producer, founder of Fame Studios. Guys, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us. Yes,
yeah.
Please. You know, that's great.
It's been an honor.
Shake the dust off your feet, hey, don't.